Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome, everybody, to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. In the studio, Giscard is back with us. Hi, Giscard.
Hi, Nancy. Thank you one more time for giving me this opportunity, you know, to speak about my personal experience and my business experience.
Yes. Well, you're welcome. This is the platform for people to really go into depth, to hear stories of depth about what your real experience is as an entrepreneur. It isn't just about selling. Mm-hmm. It's really about building a life. Mm-hmm. Your background is just kind of amazing. So Giscard Ayisi, he is the founder of two different businesses. One is a nonprofit business and the other is a for-profit business. And we heard a little bit about the nonprofit business Humane Humanity, which assists immigrants in the United States by delivering immigrant integration services like immigrant documentation, English as a second language classes, job search and skill development, and he also assists African seniors to help them integrate into the United States. He also hasn't forgotten his homeland. Giscard uses the nonprofit to assist hospitals and clinics in rural areas of developing countries as well to tackle their lack of insufficient medical supplies. Mm-hmm. He has background in communication and marketing. He's done some journalism in Cameroon, his home country. And all of these, he learned the nonprofit of giving back to his community, really, in Cameroon. It sounds like that where your heritage has helped you to be in tune with other people.
Yes, Nancy, I want to add something else. Human Humanity, we have immigration, integration, education, health, and environment. But actually, I'm trying to see how we can refocus our activities. So with the education already, we have Education for All, that we really work hard to help unprivileged children in Africa, rural area of Africa, with school supply.
Yes.
And this last 2016, we collected almost 500 exercise books and pens, 500 school supply for 500 children.
Wonderful.
That's almost 5 boxes that we're going to ship soon to 5 school in rural area of Cameroon. Because what we have noticed during our studies is that a lot of them do drop out because of the lack of school supply. So they have to maybe help their parents go to farming and stuff like that, which is, we think that is too premature. Children need to go to school. And with those school supplies, it's kind of like a boost for those children to encourage them continue to go to school. And we will continue with that program. Despite the fact that we still don't have funding, because I support the shipping with my own money and school supplies, sometimes I have to add it. My goal is to help those children in rural areas, because not in the cities. So after Cameroon, we might go in Ivory Coast, we might go in Congo, for instance.
So Congo Mike Kabea, that's a good introduction for Mike Kabea's on the mic as well.
So that's what we are doing. Even the medical supply, you know, a lot of hospital in rural area, not in the cities, are in bad
shape. Yeah, because the need isn't there in the city. They're getting the resources.
Yes.
But you're saying in the rural areas, you want to make sure that they're getting the education so that they can improve their lives.
Exactly. Yeah. So Human Humanity, that's my, let's say, my other baby that is in good shape now. And I keep working on it very hard.
Well, and you're very good with pulling people together, I noticed, to work on different projects.
Yes, yes.
And we'll put your websites for both businesses up on
the podcast,
program, so listeners can check it out.
No problem. And thank you so much. Thank you so much, because it's really rare to see people like you encouraging an entrepreneur, you know, supporting those kind of initiatives. You know, it's rare, but I really thank you for what you're doing.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, and I'll get you plugged into some other resources because there's a lot of entrepreneurs in the metro area and also in the rural areas as well. I mean, that's what's keeping our towns alive are all these entrepreneurial activities. But there's a lot of different resources around town that also are very supportive of what you're trying to do. Okay, and the second business that you've got going here is the United States Africa Biz. Yeah. It's a marketing firm that promotes Africans who are immigrating here, or just Africans, right?
Yeah.
Even if you're born here. Yeah,
yes,
it's exactly. African businesses that you're supporting to help build them up and also unite them so that they have a sense of community in how to utilize all the resources that you have to support each other.
Yes. US Africa Biz is coming from the first failure that I had with the US Africa Trade. So I learned a lot. And
tell us a little bit about what you learned.
With US Africa Trade was mostly for corporate. And I think corporate, they have
money. That was the magazine, right?
Yes,
that
you published? Magazine, exactly. And we were organizing some presentation, you know, to US corporate and stuff like that. And what I learned is that corporate, they have a lot of money and they can afford resources, you know. They really have a team that are aware of a lot, you know. And also with the fact that most magazines are moving to digital platform, copy is very difficult to be sold. You know, it's very difficult for magazine or newspaper to sell now. You know, people don't really read that much the hard copy anymore. So people move online, go online a lot. And, also the lesson that I learned from there was, I think it was more about, the support from people or the community. People were not understanding exactly what it was all about, but the whole concept of US Africa Trade, because I requested for some collaboration and some people rejected me and stuff like that. And the bad thing that discouraged me was the hacking of the website that was hacked, and people were publishing all kind of stuff there and marketing shoes and stuff like that. You know?
Yeah, because you're not purchasing a platform.
Mm-hmm.
You have someone who built the website for you. So you're not using like WordPress.
WordPress,
which is very popular.
Yeah.
But you actually have somebody who's building the site for you.
Yeah, somebody
and
did.
And so that was one of the elements that they didn't build in the firewall.
Yeah, probably. And the website was working well because I was writing a lot of articles and people were sending me articles. And some articles in one day were read 5,000 click and 3,000, you know, click. But that was really the failure, you know. So I learned from there.
Why couldn't you have just built the firewall in and then kept the business going?
To run a magazine or a website that is informing people, you need a lot of resources, a lot of writing, a lot of article. People will be editing. It's a whole team. And based on who I was at that time, I didn't have that team to support. And that's a lot of money that you need to put.
I see. So after the firewall incident, then it took some resources.
Yes, it took some resources. And a lot of work that I was doing, I was kind of like, oh my God. I mean, I work hard, but this is what happened.
Maybe to maintain it is,
it is a sign of God. And maybe that was not the way that I was supposed to do. That was not what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Despite the Washington experience that I went there twice.
Right.
World Bank conference and Select USA, because they saw the work that I was doing. So they
so
really,
you know, you can make a really great impact. I think there's also a different part of transition that you go through once you start a venture versus then maintaining it.
Mm-hmm.
And building on it.
Mm-hmm.
So once you got it up and running and were running it for a while, then you were like, oh my gosh, you know, this is growing into something big, and I'm going to have to really generate a lot of cash in order to support this. And I don't have time to do that.
And like I said, US corporate or corporate, they are billion-dollar industry corporation businesses or stuff like that. But, and they have money that, you know, they can afford to get the right information and stuff like that. So when you target corporate, you should have your feet on the ground. You know, so US Africa
so have now, a lot of things figured out already. Mm-hmm. I see. I hear you.
When you have Bloomberg, because I used to listen to Bloomberg, and that's Bloomberg or NBC Economy on all those guys. You know, I always follow them. And,
the marketplace. Yeah. Yes,
that's a lot of research to write articles to check. And in Africa, articles you need to write and you need to check and stuff like that. But the thing is that corporate, they have means to afford information.
Yes.
US Africa Biz is a new concept that I came with because I discovered that African businesses in US, they struggle. Whenever I go to an African store, I always ask a lot of questions and what they are selling, if they are doing well and why they are not doing well. And what I have discovered is that a lot of them, they don't know the resources sometimes. A lot of them, they don't have a marketing strategy. A lot of them usually think that because you are African brothers will be your customer, which is completely wrong because if you don't have a good marketing, they will go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And where I have been in St. Cloud, it's almost the same complaint. I will be going to Duluth and also to Rochester to learn about the experience.
You should also, on your way to Rochester, check out Owatonna. Too.
Yes.
They have a big population of Somali.
Okay. Thank you so much. I will write it down. So whenever you go there, you will discover that a lot of them are selling good products. But now, the Asian, Chinese, they have almost the same product. So now you have a battle to attract African customers.
I see.
And African customers, competition, they don't care if you are from Africa or not. They want the products.
Yeah. Right.
So that's the challenges that African businesses are facing now.
Yeah, more competition.
Yeah, just to say a few things on that, but the same reality you're facing here in the United States is also increasingly happening in Africa. I just learned that in the Congo, there's lots and lots of Chinese people today. And it's not wholesale type of business. It's really retailing. It's like they sell the small stuff that the indigenous was supposed to be selling, in fact.
Oh, I see. So they're taking business away from
absolutely
those
you
who
know,
are living
it's
there.
Not like the biggest corporation whatsoever. No, it's even the smallest stuff like peanut or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
The small stuff, the small stuff. So, which is bringing the sense of competition to a different level and totally agree with you. Africans should think twice when it comes about advertising because it's just not a given that your brothers from Africa will come and do stuff.
Yes.
I do experience the same thing with my photography, videography. More of my clients are not from African descent. Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I had to only count on that, I would have, you know, experience the bankruptcy and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, if I were an African immigrant, I really need to think about marketing because you're normally not thinking about marketing, right?
Yeah.
Or who you're marketing to is not your brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you need to be thinking more broadly, like how can I help the marketplace in general?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I can say yes or no, because African store or businesses, they have typical products that are not US made sometimes. You know, he's from Congo. He has a taste from back home and he would like to have the same taste here, the same taste.
Sure.
So, yes. Which means that
they're bringing a little bit of home here.
Exactly. So, which means that a Mexican cannot sell an African food.
Yeah.
Or he won't enjoy the Mexican food like the African one because he grew up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a certain way that things were made.
Yes.
That you can't just easily duplicate.
Yes. That's right. So those businesses then, always they complain. I knew a lady that she told me 3 months ago that she went out of business because some people would rather cross her store and go to the Asian one. And she was shocked because now she has to open the business in Nigeria instead of here. because of that, you know. But what I told her is that customer is not, African customer are no more a gift or something that you acquire already. You think that because they are African is for you.
Yes.
And he even emphasized on it. So US Africa Biz, which is a marketing firm, is a platform that is giving tools to African small businesses because
that we don't you're have developing
large, how yeah. to grow, how to market, how to sell, how to approach your customers.
Yes.
That's why we have a three platform. We have the copy, we have the app that will be coming soon, and we have the directory.
I'm really impressed with the app that you have put together already.
Yeah, I'm working so hard, but it's not easy because to design an app is expensive, and also to print a copy because the directory is coming soon.
Yes.
And the directory almost has 100, more than 100 businesses, African businesses.
Can you describe a little bit the app and what does it supposed to?
Oh, well, the app is very simple. So basically, if you want to purchase African food,
yes,
and that you are driving in the city, you have the app that you will download, and I'm planning to sell the app, even if it is $1, you know, $1, $150 on Google app. I will sell it because it's a lot of resources that I'm putting in place to have
absolutely,
all that.
Yeah.
So the app basically is this, it will give you two options, US Africa business in Africa, African business in US, or US businesses in Africa. Now, if you select African businesses in US, you click there, the window will open and you will have rubrics. It might be grocery store, it might be finance, it might be banking, it might be nonprofit.
It's also according to state.
And now, when you tap on it, it will open and show you, if you want a grocery store, it will show you a list of grocery store with the addresses, and you click on the address, the city that you know. Or maybe you are in Golden Valley. Maybe you saw Crystal. Crystal is not that far. You can click there and it will direct you there.
Okay.
And the app basically will also have options where you can select state. You can select, for instance, Chicago and the rubric, maybe nonprofit, Chicago nonprofit. And now you will have the nonprofit, African nonprofit in Chicago. Okay. But that's a lot of work because US is 50 states. And I just started with Minnesota. So yes. I'm kind of like a startup. Yes. Startup, but I don't want to start asking for money because sometimes when you have a startup, there is a lot of document that you should bring and blah, blah, blah. I want to invest my own money and see how the things are growing.
Yeah, so you can do the experimenting and kind of control the direction of your and grow as fast or slow as you need.
Exactly. And the copy, which is a Minnesota African Businesses Directory, it is a copy, a small booklet.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in place because if the digital didn't work, you can have it because I have seen that a lot of hackers do attack to the website. So if you attack the website, the copy is there.
Okay.
If the internet is not working, let's say it's not working, you have the copy.
So you have the same exact copy online.
Yes, but the difference is that the copy that you have advertising. The copy version.
Okay.
So I thought about that because they hacked the website. So US Africa Trade, they hacked the website and I was just like that because I didn't have anything else. But with US Africa Biz, if you hack the website, the hard copy is there.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So you're protecting yourself a little more.
Yes. Okay.
And how are you planning on advertising for the app and even for the directory?
Oh, but the app, first of all, like I said, it might be $1. If you download it in Google app, you can be charged just $1. And I know that people with $1, they can afford it, you know. And
he's always meeting new business owners every day.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's going out there and working,
working
the pavement.
Yeah, I'm working hard. When the app will be ready, it will be $1 something. And the copy, I will be selling the copy also maybe $1 something. You know.
You also have another event, an event coming up.
Yeah, I have an event coming up.
What's the date of the event?
I might postpone it. That's July the 30th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. We are still working on it with Nancy.
Yes, I'm working on it with you.
I'm blessed to have by my side. She will be we, Mentor, will be a sponsor of this event where we will bring African businesses together to expose their knowledge, what they are doing. And along their tables, we will have resources that we'll tell them exactly, this is what you can do. This is what we are providing, like services. We'll be having three sessions. Mm-hmm. The marketing, the social media, we
are so still they'll have on. So he'll have people can bring exhibit, mm-hmm. bring their goods, mm-hmm. and they can set up a booth. Mm-hmm. They can pay to have a booth there, and mm-hmm. then they're going to have breakout educational sessions mm-hmm. so that African business owners can have a chance to learn about business ownership and how to lead a solid business and also how to market really effectively.
Exactly. Our main goal here is so that they should grow. Even if they are not corporate, they should create job for themselves and feel good that they invested and they have the return on the investment. And the vision here, I spoke to Nancy already, to you, it's to replicate the same thing in different U.S. states, which is a lot of resources, a lot of time, but I always dream and I always work hard so that my dream should be
realized.
Realized, yeah. So after Minnesota, 1, 2, 3 years, it will be probably Chicago, New York. I know the market are different, but I think the same concept, we're going to deport it there. For me, I think, why am I doing that? Because every day I'm studying people. Every day I study white, I study Asian, I study African. Mentality, the way they behave, what they do, their needs, their past sometimes. We learn from the past. So, which makes me to always bring something because I study people. I study.
There is always and how something. Do you go about doing that?
Oh, basically, when I look at somebody, I always think that we have been blessed by God. I think I believe in God. And I think a human being, it is a reflection of God. Mm-hmm. And because it is a reflection,
so you're looking
of God,
for the God in each person.
In each person,
the light,
despite the fact that you have negative people, evil people sometimes. But I think each race or each people have something good that they can provide.
This is another aspect of emotional intelligence, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we talked about this with Pete and even Dean, I guess. We mentioned about mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Right. The social competence.
Social competence.
And so you're studying other people.
Read.
Yeah, other people.
Other people.
Yes, and manage your own emotions.
Yes, that's
right. And also find ways to connect with people.
Yes, that's right. And that's why it's coming here. Moving in the U.S., it was a very good, let's say, experience for me. And I have been blessed because in the U.S., you see different type of people, different culture and different.
Yeah.
At certain point, I had that culture shock, but I have to adapt because whenever what you think, don't think that everybody thinks like you, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the mistake that a lot of people do. In the U.S., whenever there is a situation, they have to criticize or they, and as an entrepreneur, I always avoid to give my point of view sometimes because people might think that maybe you're crazy because some people are just rigid.
Yes.
They think this and this is what it is, you know.
Right.
If not narrow-minded. Uh-huh.
My religion is the best one and that's where I am. And nobody will change my mind and nobody will tell me whatever. That's what I believe, you know. They don't take into consideration that people have different experience. You know, some people are wealthy. They didn't leave my situation. They have been living a good life. So whenever I might be saying, they don't feel that.
Right.
Because
they've led a different life.
They live a different life. So
yeah.
Every person has his own experience in life.
Yeah.
I'm not shocked when somebody is criticizing my idea because he got a different experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that helps you sometimes too when people give feedback. Like I know I share a lot of my ideas, but there are very few that really get implemented. Mm-hmm. Yes. And like I sat on the podcast for a long time mm-hmm. before I kind of pulled everything together and the platform became available or affordable. And, mm-hmm. I did, you know, I wanted to make sure that when I launch it, that like I can sustain it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. I figured out how much I would need, mm-hmm. you know, over the next mm-hmm. year and, mm-hmm. you know, what do I need to develop it into something? Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes when we get feedback, like I kind of look at the flowers side of it, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to totally love this. It's yes. going to be awesome and it's going to work out great and people are going to love it. And, but I don't always think about what the possibilities are that could go wrong. Mm-hmm. Like I've had a lot of technology issues, but I guess what, like I relate to you with your, and Mike, you have that too, that mm-hmm. that beautiful energy.
Yes.
Where you feel like you just know you're going to figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're going to solve this problem. Mm-hmm, yeah. It's not so, you know, problematic that no one can solve it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I have found that because podcasts have only been around for around 15 or 16 years, mm-hmm. there's not a lot of people that can resolve all the technology issues mm-hmm, with it, yes. mm-hmm. especially at iTunes. Let me just put that out there. Mm-hmm. But they need more people trained mm-hmm. in how to resolve podcast issues mm-hmm. Because they've got a lot of technology mm-hmm. issue, you know, consultants who are really skilled at mm-hmm. trying to figure out yes. how to resolve software issues. But mm-hmm. there's a few that they haven't yet, and this is one of them. Mm-hmm. But I was just relating to the energy and that the dynamic that is there and so important in an entrepreneur, along with the ideas and the energy, mm-hmm. is to also, we need people in our camp mm-hmm. who are saying, well, this may be a fatal flaw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm supportive of your idea, but here's what mm-hmm. I'm thinking about yeah, as you're
feedback.
Describing this. Mm-hmm. Like, there, yeah,
the
it's
feedback.
Important to have feedback.
Yeah, the feedback.
From people who are really being honest with you, that genuinely are concerned and care about you.
Yes. Yeah, but sometimes you might not be lucky, though, to have those people around you. When I started Human Humanity and I put a big team from Africa, from Cameroon, and finally, guess what? They dropped me. They dropped me. So at certain point, I had to go forward with my project.
Yes.
So you can imagine that you bring all those teams. They brought all those ideas. And because some people are good to talk.
Right.
But now to implement it.
Right.
They will never go forward.
Yes.
All the beautiful, because I brought a team. They gave all the beautiful word, all the beautiful ideas and everything. Now to implement it, nobody was there. So I was just by myself.
Because it takes time, it takes energy, mm-hmm. and sometimes mm-hmm. that energy, I mean, nobody pays for it. It's
yeah,
your
yeah.
time, it's your energy. You don't earn anything from it directly
yes. mm-hmm.
until probably later.
Yes.
So that's the most difficult period.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the
exactly.
most complicated
yes.
time.
That's right.
Either you have strong nerves and you can persist and move ahead, mm-hmm. or you just... drop
give
it.
Up. Yeah, yeah.
Or
give
you
up.
Give
yeah.
up.
Give up. Give up. And the thing is, at certain point in life, you will realize that there are people that they don't have the same energy like you, you know.
Yeah.
And you should be very careful to talk to them.
Yes.
Some people are not enlightened enough. So if you go with an idea talking to them, they might look at you like crazy.
Yeah. That's why the synergy of the team that you're pulling
mm-hmm.
together
mm-hmm.
to find the right team
yes,
where you've got like the expertise, you've mm-hmm. got the skill set,
mm-hmm.
you've got the desire to really help this person no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a while to find. Mm-hmm. And when you find it, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, this is it.
Mm-hmm. And
this
also, I learned with Human Humanity after 1 year and a half with no financing, I'm paying rent by myself, doing a lot of things by myself. I learned a lot that whenever you say you want to do something, it's going to be hard at the beginning. If you are not strong, you're going to drop it.
Yes.
If you're not strong, that's why I was sleeping 2 days a week in the office.
How did you not become resentful?
What do you mean, like?
You know, when you're working that hard mm-hmm. and then you're not kind of seeing like the money's coming either. How did you stay positive?
After 1 year and a half and 1 year and 3 months of working hard, I knew that whenever I start something, I'm like, it's not going to give me anything, but I need to go forward. I said I will do it. I have to do it. So it doesn't matter if I have money or not. And one of my teacher at Metro State University told me that, oh, Jessica, you know what? We are nonprofit. It's very good, but do this, do this, do this. The financing is going to not be easy. Maybe after 3 years, I told her that it doesn't matter whenever somebody will finance me, but I like what I'm doing. and I will put the energy
so that,
that
re-energizes
is
you.
Yeah, because you
well, isn't that the purpose of your for-profit? Is to help with sustaining you financially,
yes.
So that if you're not, and to provide some of the resources if they're not quite there.
Yes, and also I think in life I put the human being at the center of everything, and because I believe in God, like I said. Whenever you deliver a service to a human being, it is not a loss. The nonprofit that I work in Cameroon for free, teaching children, brought me in the U.S. If I would have needed money, I wouldn't have gotten money. You see how things are working?
Yeah,
things I work for free.
Yes.
Without nothing, I go to U.S.
So the intention was there,
yes.
That you had, and you let go of the outcome. Like,
yes.
You weren't looking for something to come back to you.
Yes, exactly.
But then God is great.
Exactly. So
yeah.
Human Humanity, I appreciate it because the people that we have been assisting, some of them do give me a call, tell me how their situation is, how they are moving, what they need. And I will be telling them that, okay, if it is for job, we're going to do this for job. We're going to follow this. We're going to follow that. Even for women that we train with the English classes. Some of them are still calling today to thank, to thank the organization, what we did for them and stuff like that. So for me, I think it's powerful. You know?
Yeah, very.
It's not for myself, but I think if I had something to give to the human being,
yeah.
And I'm giving it to them,
a greater purpose
fulfilling.
In your life,
yeah,
which energizes you.
So the 1 year and a half, no financing, no money, I still have that energy of going forward, you know. And US Africa Bees, it is an other idea that I came with, almost the same purpose. Because whatever you have in yourself, give it to people.
Yeah.
Don't keep it for yourself. So if you have an idea, go for it. It's not going to be easy.
Right.
Nothing is easy in life. Nothing. So I'm prepared. I'm like a warrior.
Yes.
And I look at all the great leader stories and I watch on YouTube, I read, that's the life cycle, you know, nothing going to be easy.
Yeah.
Nothing going to be easy.
So you're reading and really researching things and other people helps you to stay optimistic and also understand that it shifts your perspective. Like this is what leaders do.
Mm-hmm.
This is how they get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to stay on this path and keep working it.
Because when I was looking at the history of Ford, you know, Ford.
Yes. Ooh, the inventor of the,
car. Yeah.
When I saw how he started.
Yeah.
And even when the aviation started, you see the way they were struggling. And
gosh, how many crashes.
Especially Ford.
Mm-hmm.
But just about any engineer told him, you're crazy.
You're crazy.
The
exactly.
idea you're talking
exactly.
about will never work.
Right. Never work. But he kept going.
Yeah.
And look at many years
that
after.
That tenacity. Mm-hmm.
When even if you look at Stalin, I like, despite the fact that the history sometimes what he did was bad or all those leaders,
Stalin.
Dictator, all those guys, when you look at the history and how they did, they had something that they have to do and they did it. You know, the man in steel, he decided that he's going to be a man in steel and he died as a man in steel, you know. So I think whenever you have something that you want to do, do it. But if you believe in it. So that's what keep pushing me, even if I don't have money. You know,
And you've also got some exciting news that your family's going to be joining you soon?
Yeah. My family, I'm working on it, still working on it. I'm still waiting for all the documentation from the USCIS.
But it looks like it's going to come through?
Yeah. My citizenship too, I'm waiting for it. And I will be blessed when they will give it to me so that my family should be here. So I always think, like I told you, I believe in God and everything is Him, you know. So everything is on His hand. So I don't want to give it a time, but...
You know it's going to happen.
It's going to happen, yeah. I believe
it's just a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time.
So you let go of what causes you stress and just stay focused on the work here
Just get focused and give the human being what you're supposed to give to them. Because when you look at the history of the earth, where the human being started, where the civilization started and ended, where the development started. You look at how people did, what people accomplished. When you look at the guy that invented the light.
Edison.
Electricity. Yeah.
He was dreaming every day that this is what's going to happen, and he keep working, and today it's what it is, you know. So I think we have to give something in life to other people, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's my philosophy.
I keep working on it. It's not going to be easy though. It's easy is not an option. Easy is not an option.
That's right.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Well, this is, do you have any other questions that you want?
I mean, time is, you know, I'm the engineer. I'm determining the time. But this has been an incredible conversation. I liked it very much. And I think bottom line is that you got to keep up that level of energy. Just got.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess that's what is going to lift you higher and higher. You know,
that's what it takes
to be a very good entrepreneur, is to keep up that level of energy and positive.
Easy.
Yeah.
Because when other people are celebrating, going to the party, I have to think about my stuff.
Oh, yes.
And even in a party, I'm still thinking about my stuff.
Yes.
You can relate.
Some people are like, some people are even fed up. But I understand them. Because people, you have other people that they are preoccupied by maybe eating, having a job and feeding themselves. And you know what I mean?
Yes.
But you, your idea, your mindset is to create something, you know?
Yeah. And you want to help a lot of people.
Yes. And for them, they don't care. Some people, they don't care. They tell you that, you know what? I don't care about whatever, helping other people. No. I won't even do that. You know?
Yeah.
Some people are like that.
And they're also propelled to do something else.
Yes. So just leave them alone. It's not easy. It's not easy because it is a lot of sacrifice.
Yeah, and a lot of discipline.
Yeah, a lot of discipline too. And sometimes a lot of money that you have to put in. And even if it is a loss, because since I started Human Humanity, I put almost more than 10,000. No return. So you can imagine.
Yeah.
Yes.
For some people.
I know what that's like.
For some people. Mm-mm. They won't do that.
Yes.
Investment is investment.
So. Yeah, it might seem crazy to other people, but to you, know, it just seems like this is whatever it takes.
Yes, yes. That's the price to pay.
And
especially if I can see other people happy, that's fine for me.
Yes. Okay.
That's fine for me.
Well, and I also want to make sure, too, that every entrepreneur sometimes gets so focused on their dream that they forget to take care about their basic needs. And caring about themselves enough so that they're doing things that replenish their spirit along the way. So if you find yourself becoming bitter on any day, it's a message to say, okay, there's something I need to do for myself that I need to take care of because I need to refill too. So I can keep, you know, I need to fuel up and I need to keep going and helping others too.
Yeah, I think for myself, for now, I don't have time for myself, but it's coming. When everything will be settled, you know, it will be easier for me to have time for myself and my family. But for now, I have to work. But after a certain point, you know, I know that when everything is set down, you know, like they said, to put a brand, it's not easy. Whenever the brand, like Nike now, he can sleep.
Oh, the brand. You got to build the brand.
Yeah, but Nike now, he can sleep. The brand...
has built itself.
Yeah, he built himself. So we mentor now. You keep working, but at certain point, you will be having calls up and down, and maybe hire somebody, and things will be easier now. So
well, I have always felt like I need to take care of myself along the way, and the venture can't always be first.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think you have to set different parameters around it.
Yes, yes, that's right.
At some point. But everybody does, you know, you're in a different place than I am.
Fortunately for me.
This is the first year I'm running my podcast, but I've been in business since 1992 helping entrepreneurs.
Wow.
And so there are different lessons that I've been learning along the way of, you know, how far to push and when to back off. And my marriage is important and I need some energy there. Mm-hmm. And I got to be there for my daughter. Mm-hmm. And in order to do something great, I mean, you have to have that focus to build.
Yes. I think also when you said you're going to sponsor the exposition, I was very happy because you believe on that idea.
Yes.
Because not a lot of people embrace it. when I spoke about it, and I'm still writing the project step by step, and by the end of the month or maybe mid-February, it will come out how we can structure the whole exposition and job fair and education fair. So I really appreciate what you're doing. And also, I think it won't be easy, but luckily for me, my wife and my children are not here. So luckily for me, because all that is because the family is not here yet.
Right. But once, so you're doing a lot of work to prepare to get them.
A lot of work here. Now.
Yes.
When they will be here, it's going to be easier for me.
Yeah, know? Right. Exactly.
That's why I can sleep 2 days in an office, working the day and night.
Right.
Nobody's here.
Well, it also sounds like it's a coping strategy, because it's hard to have your loved ones so far away.
Yeah, trying to get myself a little bit busier.
Yeah, right.
Get a little bit busier.
So that makes so much sense with your circumstances.
But when children will be around, my wife will be around, I think at that time, things will be set up. Like, you know, if you want to organize an event, the first year is kind of hard.
Yeah.
But after the second year, it's easier.
Right, because you know a little more about what you're doing. And
the same thing with US Africa Bees or the nonprofit. The first year is kind of hard. The second year, now you know where you're going, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of easy now. The second year, the third year, you know.
Yeah, so, when you're building.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're shifting as you go along.
Yep.
All right, I think we have a better understanding now of what's going on here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's on a lot of stuff, but you know, at least with the two shows, we got a great picture of what he's after.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Giscard, we'll check back with you down the road to see how things are going for you.
No problem. Thank you so much.
That would be great. Yeah. Thank you. And I look forward to our future work together.
Thank you so much.
Promoting African businesses.
Thank you so much. The July events, by the grace of God, will be wonderful. So I have to work hard for it. And with you guys' assistance, it will be greater.
Yes.
We're part of it.
Thank you so much.
And Mike, thanks for enriching our both conversations by joining us in the mentoring conversation.
Thank you, Nasit.
All right. So we'll see everybody next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Out for now.
Bye.
Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.